Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads tonight. Praise God. There's a beautiful prayer request. Just lift your hand to the Lord. Praise God. The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that we can come into the house of the Lord with singing and with praises tonight.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank thee for thy mercy and we thank thee for thy grace. Lord, your word says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And Father, we've come tonight to worship you and praise your lovely name.
Amen.
And we thank thee for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord.
We thank thee for the power of the blood.
Jesus.
Lord, I pray earnestly tonight for those led aside sick. Lord, I pray you'll touch them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Touch Ian and touch Samuel. Pray for me, Auntie Eileen, you'll touch her, Lord, tonight.
Amen.
Touch Keith tonight.
Amen.
Father, minister unto them by thy Spirit, we pray. Oh God, we would ask that thou would visit us. We would pray that thou would make thy arm bear amongst us. And oh God, that thy name would be uplifted and that thy name would be magnified. Lord, that the works of the enemy would be bound in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for the Holy Spirit to move. We invite the Holy Spirit to come. And we say, Holy Spirit, quicken our bodies. Have thy way amongst us.
Amen.
Fill every fiber of our beings tonight with the Holy Ghost and fire. And oh God, move amongst us. Speak to their hearts. Oh God, speak to us tenderly. Oh God, bless your people tonight. In Jesus Christ's name. Meet every need, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name. And Father, I thank you that the Holy Ghost is poured out.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, I take the blessed Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And I thank you, undertake for me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Praise God. I just want to tell you a little testimony about a wee man. You know what? It's been a real blessing, Terry, playing the accordion. And I love the accordion. Always have loved the accordion, and you know, when I think it was you would have some tapes of him, but the first tape I heard John gave me of Albert Chambers preaching and playing the accordion, and boy, the accordion just does something for me anyhow. And you know, I was thinking, as a wee man, he's passed on to be with the Lord now, as a wee American preacher, Billy Kelly was called. And he decided and felt that God wanted him to do meetings. And he rented a place to do the meetings, but the meetings weren't going too well. And he wasn't getting too much money to pay for the hall. And he couldn't even burn the lights. So he only had a couple of lights at the front of the hall where he was preaching to see the Bible. And the rest of the room was in darkness. And his family were all deep sinners. His dad was a backslidden preacher. And he'd been away from the Lord for a long time, and he wasn't serving the Lord, and none of his family was serving the Lord. And Billy Kelly decided, he said, I'll quit tonight. I'll preach no more tonight. And he had decided in his head, and he'd give up, and he was going to quit. And there's a brother in the service, and he says, Billy, I feel led to sing a song. And he got up and he sang a song, but he didn't just sing a song, he sung all night. And Billy said he never realized there was as many verses in one song. And he took the whole meeting singing a song. And Billy got up the next night and he said, the next night I'll quit tonight. And the boy says, Billy, I feel led to sing a song again, Billy. I hope you don't mind. Billy said, no, sing a song again. He sung the same song again. And he sung the whole meeting again. And the next night Billy got up to preach and Billy started preaching. And he decided, I'll preach tonight, and when it's finished, I'll close her down. And as Billy Kelly was preaching, he said he saw people coming in from the back in the dark. And he says when he made the altar call that night, his dad come to the altar.
Amen.
And his whole family. And they got saved.
Amen.
The power of God broke. And the meeting. And hundreds come to the Lord.
Amen.
But Billy was forgiven up. And I tell you, when it seems nothing's happening, nothing's moving, that's the very time God can work.
Amen.
And God can do something. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad tonight the Lord's on the throne? And I'll tell you, Billy Kelly's went on, but he left a testimony. And the Lord mightily used him, and he's just a rough man. He'd no flancy. One man said when he'd done the funeral service, he says, Billy has reached his grave, and God's promoted him. Promoted him to glory. Praise God for it. Let us turn to the Word of God tonight, and I want to read from John's Gospel. John chapter 10, verse 11, down till 18. You may remain seated tonight. And I want to preach tonight about the Good Shepherd. And I felt this morning, I studied again in Hebrews, and I had a text picked, but I felt strongly to take this scripture tonight and this thought tonight. From verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But that is an hireling and not the shepherd. His own sheep are not. Seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And we know that God will bless his own precious word. The Lord Jesus Christ is this great and perfect shepherd. And we heard this morning how this great shepherd sat down, because he had finished the work what he came to do. And when he finished the work, he sat down saying, it's finished, it's completed. Nothing more can be added till it you're taken from it, it's done. And here the Bible tonight calls him the good shepherd. There's some that claim to be shepherds, but when the wolf comes, they'll flee. And the sheep scattered, and the sheep's wounded. But this here is the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. This shepherd's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. This shepherd is the one that's with you. And he says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Though I'm with thee always to the end, he'll never leave you. When the going gets tough, this shepherd is dependable. This shepherd's with you in the storms. He's with you in the calm. He's with you in the valleys. And he's with you in the mountains. For he never leaves you nor forsakes you. This is the good shepherd. This shepherd giveth life freely for the sheep, because he loves the sheep. And he says he's lost none, but he will leave the 99 and go after the one lost sheep. That's the love this shepherd has for his sheep. He won't see one of them lost. He won't see one of them destroyed with the wolf, but he'll go after them and rescue them because he loves them. This is this good shepherd. I thank God for this shepherd tonight. I thank God when this sheep was astray from the heavenly way, that this shepherd came seeking this sinner and saved him and delivered him by his power. I thank God for the shepherd tonight. There's no shepherd like this shepherd. When the going gets tough, this shepherd's tough. Oh, hallelujah. I think tonight of the wee story that Brother Branham told. It's beautiful. He says he stood and he watched the eagle through his binoculars. And he said the eagle put her wings out, and the little eaglets climbed on board. And she carried them from the mountain down into the green pastures. And Brother Branham, in the message called Deep to the Deep, he said the little eaglets stepped on her back and skipped in the green pastures. He said, I guess they were having a Pentecostal revival. That's what he said. And he says they watched it and he wept when he thought of the nature, how that God could speak through nature. And he says he saw a storm coming. And he says he thought to himself, what if a fox or a coyote would come to lift one of them little eaglets? And he says, I guess it received instructions before leaving the nest. When the mother would scream, they ran to the mother. And he said, when the storm came, that mother eagle gave out a scream. And he says, those little eaglets filed up in a line and climbed onto her back. And their little beaks held into the mother. And he says, she faced up into the storm. And she carried them safe into the cleft of the rock. And then he says, one day Jesus will come from glory. Yeah. And he's going to sweep down and pick us up on his wings. Yeah. And carry us home to glory. Isn't that wonderful tonight? Yeah. The Lord loves his people tonight. Yes, and he's coming again. Jesus Christ is coming again. Yes. I am going away to prepare a place for you. But I will come again. And receive you unto myself. This is the promise of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd can't break a promise. All the shepherds that promise you the world and give you nothing. But this shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Amen. Praise God. This is the outstanding characteristic of the Good Shepherd. He's not only ready to sacrifice his life for defense of the sheep, but has a commandment from the Father. A commandment from the Father to lay down his life for the sheep. God commanded him. God sent this man forth for a reason. Are you hearing me tonight? For this reason was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The only way, as preachers, as people of God, that we can defeat the devil is by preaching the Word of God. And when we preach the Word of God, the Word of God brings deliverance. The Word of God sets the oppressed free. And the anointing of God when we preach the Word of God. The Word of God's the light. The Word of God's the gospel. The Word of God is the truth. And the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And this Good Shepherd received this commandment. When John saw him coming, John looked out and he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You remember I preached a sermon years ago called God's Appointed Taketh Away a Sin. From that very scripture. God had one appointed that could take away sin. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. He takes your sin away. Amen. Oh, there's so many people tonight in bondage because their sins remain. Because they don't know this wonderful shepherd. They don't know the power of his blood that it can cleanse their sins away. My, thank God for this shepherd tonight. The sheep might have life through him in abundance. Verse 10 tells us that. We're redeemed here in this passage in verse 17. And when you read Hebrews 13 verse 20. Let me read it for you. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Everlasting. I tell you, this covenant's an eternal one. It's everlasting. This covenant is an everlasting covenant. It remains true. This is the thing. Our brother Brian Freeborn made an outstanding statement when he was here. I hope you know that. Here's what he said. I was blessed by it. He said, you must understand, when you have a real revelation of Calvary and what Jesus done, you must understand that the blood of Christ cleanses your past, present, and future sin away. Amen. All of it. Because this is an everlasting covenant. Amen. This is a complete work. When you are born again of the Spirit of God, the Word of God says you are a new creature. A new creature in Christ Jesus, born again of the Spirit of God. This is why you see if people don't get born again, all you have is religious proselytes. Yes. They don't have any power within them to live it. Because they've never been birthed. You see, if you're born into the family, if you're a MacDonald, a McKinstry, or a Mahood, or whatever your name is, or a Kernigan, you were born into that. and you cry, Abba Father. Oh, praise God. Aren't you glad you've got the new birth? Amen. You see your old nature, we were with it, but we weren't stuck with it. We've got delivered from it. Hallelujah. Delivered from the past times. Oh, glory to God. Let me read you this from verse 23. Verse 21, sorry. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He is working in you through Jesus Christ. Working in you. Did you know God was working in you? Well, do you think that God will take on a work and it won't be a good work? Do you think His work's bad? No, it's not. He's working in you. You know, the old people used to pray it a lot. You don't hear it much these days. But the old people used to pray it a lot, that you're able to keep that which I've committed unto you against that day. The only true wise God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I used to remember people years ago praying that. Don't hear it much today. But they used to pray it all the time because they were knowing the Lord was doing the work within them. And they were thanking Him for it. And God, He which hath begun a work in you, will present you faultless before the Father. That's what He says. Hallelujah. I'm glad for that tonight. Praise God. 1 Peter 2 verse 25. For ye as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. This is not the Pope. This is Jesus Christ. This is the real bishop of glory. Hallelujah. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. You are returned unto Him. You're not returned unto some philosophy or some religion or some system. You're returned unto the Savior of your soul, the true bishop of your soul, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's general overseer here. This is the man of the hour. This is the only man of the hour. This is the man that Paul said, that I might know nothing else amongst you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what his message was. And Brother Branham, beyond the curtain of time, said, I preached what Paul preached. And the multitude said, we're depending upon that. Because he knew Paul preached the truth. And if he was to preach what Paul preached, it would have to be the truth. If it was the truth, it's always the truth.
Amen.
It's still the truth. When somebody tells you, you don't need what Paul has no more, they're saying that's it's no more truth. How can you say you don't need it no more? That breaks scripture. When the prophet of God says, I preach what Paul preached, he says, I bring no new revelation. But he took all the loose ends and bring it together in one complete revelation of the mystery of Jesus Christ revealed. That's what he said. And remember the church age book, he said, what was the revelation the church began on? Peter had it. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood never revealed this to you, but my Father which art in heaven. And Brother Branham said, that's the revelation that the church began on, is the same revelation the church will finish on. Changes.
Amen.
If he was a Savior, he's still a Savior. If he was a healer, he's still a healer. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, he's still a baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, he's still doing it. Because he never changes. Praise God. We see redemption in this here, from these passages. His sheep hear His voice. The sheep hear His voice. Now, I want you to remember, when the blood of Abel was spilled or shed, however you want to look at it, but he was cut off and his blood went into the ground, the blood had a voice that spoke to God. And God heard the voice of Abel's blood. And then when you come over to Hebrews, it said, how much speaketh better things the blood of Jesus than the blood answer to that blood.
Yes.
And then a prophet comes in the 20th century and he tells us, what is it now? He says, when the blood shed broke at Calvary, the life of God himself was released. Then he shows us that's the token. Because the token life is the Holy Ghost. The life of the blood that comes back on the true believer. And that token life came upon them on the day of Pentecost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Quickened. Does Romans say the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you? It will quicken your mortal body. And that word quicken means make alive. You're not dead. You're living. You're living tonight. Because you've been quickened by the power of God. And sheep hear his voice. Every soul that will follow Christ must individually hear his voice. God called you. You might have been called through hearing the preacher preach a sermon. You might have been called, a brother could have spoke to you individually, but that's still God. I want you to understand this now. God uses preachers, God uses singing, God uses musicians, God can use many things to call you, but it's ultimately God that's doing the calling. Because it's the Holy Spirit upon the individual that God is using to reach you, to get you. You could be reading the Word of God and God could call you. You could be listening a song and God could call you. When you hear Jack Coe's testimony, and Jack Coe tells his testimony, and many other people tell their testimony, he said, I don't know what the preacher preached. But they were singing that hymn, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And he said he got saved.
Amen.
Left in the hymn. And God uses things.
That's right.
To call people. I tell you, you know, I heard a story of a man. He took a track and he ripped it in two and he threw it out over the hedge. And an old drunkard was coming home drunk one night and he got the half of the track that was ripped and he started to read it and the power of God hit him and delivered him and he could see him and sobered all at once.
Amen.
That's the power of the gospel.
Amen.
You see, I've told you, I say it and say it again, I'm convinced of it. I believe it with all my heart. There's no word of God void of power. But God's word is power.
It's
power to raise the dead. You see, you have to understand, this is the same one that said in the beginning, let there be light. This is him speaking here.
Amen.
And there was light.
Amen.
And he said, let the firmament come forth in the heavens and so forth. He spoke it and it came. God said and it happened.
Amen.
And that's why I said the other week, God can lead you to speak. Because it's the same Holy Spirit that's in the Lord that comes upon you, because there's only one Spirit.
Amen.
The exact same Holy Spirit comes upon you, and the Holy Spirit can speak through you the same creative power, the same creative miracles. That's why Brother Branham said, in these last days before Jesus comes, limbs will be spoken unto people.
Yes.
That's what he said. He said it'll be a quick, short work before the Lord comes. Limbs created and spoken on the people. Then we see a man like Smith Wigglesworth that goes into the house and stares at the man that's no feet. And he says, tomorrow go and buy yourself a pair of shoes. God will give you feet. And he sat up the whole night in rage. I think he was a Church of England minister or something, wasn't he? And boy, he had a big conversation with God all night. What did Wigglesworth think he was doing? Talking to him like that. That's the way he talked. And he prayed and he talked to the Lord and he had a big conversation with the Lord and God spoke to him. And God said to him, you go and do what my servant said. And the next morning he was there before the shop opened. And he got to the shop and he said to the man, I want a pair of shoes. And he could pick whatever size he wanted. And the man said, not to be funny, man. same God that took a piece of clay and made a man, then he breathed into them and he became a living soul. This is the same God that God's prophet, Brother Branham, said God took a lump of clay and he made a body which was called Melchizedek, stepped into it and came down and visited Abraham. That's what a prophet said. God can make a body when he wants. He's Almighty God. But he can do it. And I tell you, the God that made man can heal man and deliver man. And I believe that God wants to bring us up to that realm of his fear. That you might have his fear. That Jesus said, have the faith of God, when he cursed that fig tree. Now most translations say have faith in God, but the original says have the faith of God. And the faith of God is the same faith that can speak a mountain and say, mountain, move from here over to here. That's faith in God can do that. Faith in God can move a mountain. But the enemy wants you to doubt God's word. And he wants to give you a whole list of circumstances why it can't be done, but God can do it. And if you can figure it out, you don't need God. But you can't. You cannot really explain a miracle. You cannot fully explain something supernatural. It is Almighty God. He is a supernatural being with supernatural ability, with supernatural authority. He is Almighty God, all-knowing, all-doing. He's everything. Almighty God. And yet, he condescended from his omnipotence, from his glory, he condescended, he came down into the manger and born in a little baby, little Jehovah, laying in a manger. And he received this commandment from his father to lay his life down for the sheep and to take it up again. And he did it at the cross. Laid it down and took it up again. There's absolutely no contest when people talk about Muhammad and all these different religions. There's no contest. They're still in the grave. Jesus isn't. He's risen. And I think it was John or Gary said it, the stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out. It was rolled away to let them in. You remember when they were gathered in the house, the Lord just came in with the doors closed. He just came in amongst them. And they thought he was a ghost. And he said, well, go ahead and touch me. That's what God can do. In his lovely Son. And we are going to be changed like him. Like unto his own glorious body, we are going to be changed. Your thinking here will be different. Everything about you will not be the same when you're changed. You won't think the way you think here. There'll be none of it. Didn't Jesus, when they tried to trick him about marriage and divorce, didn't he say that they're neither given nor taken in marriage and heaven? There's no such thing. It's going to be wonderful. Oh, you think of it tonight. We can't fully comprehend it. For the Bible says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him who are the called according to his promise. God has good things for us. But the enemy wants to strip us while we're here. He wants to leave you defeated. But God wants you to get up. God wants you to know who you are. You are the redeemed of the Lord. The Lord's redeemed you. You're the Lord's. He is your good shepherd. He's given his life for you. And he's your intercessor. He's your high priest. We have a priest. Oh yes, isn't it great when they said to him, what do you call your priest? The Lord Jesus. And he doesn't wear a collar either. But sometimes there's a glow with him. He can be the pillar of fire. The cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. He came to Paul on the Damascus Road as a pillar of fire and he said, who art thou, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe he's in the meeting by the Holy Spirit. But he said, I'll send another comforter in my name. And He will lead you and guide you into all truth and show you things to come. Isn't He wonderful tonight? His first voice was to the Jewish flock, but He said, I have other sheep which will hear My voice. And God's first voice was definitely to the Jewish flock. But you see, Paul explains it. Paul says that the casting off of the Jews was the bringing in of us Gentiles. We which were not a people are now the people of God, and we will hear His voice as well. So just as God spoke originally to the Jews, and the Jews heard His voice, God, rich in mercy, lets the Gentiles hear His voice as well. And there's still one fold. For Jesus says, I have other sheep. I believe we're them sheep. Let me read you the first epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 2. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now there's a scripture when somebody says, here's a scripture, brother, listen to this. When somebody says, we don't think the blood is all there for the world, what are you going to do with this?
Amen.
It says for the whole world. Now the whole world might not come, but it's powerful enough to do it.
Amen.
There's enough, it's been applied for it. It's like the story told about the man that received the pardon, but because it was wrote on a bit of rough paper, he didn't realize it was from the president and he never received it. But it was a pardon from the president because he looked at the paper, not the message. He failed to get it. And the world today are failing to see it, but yet it's there for them. God can save them all. And we cannot preach a limited atonement. We cannot preach that. We must preach to whosoever.
Amen.
Whosoever will may come. God knows who's going to come, but we aren't God.
Amen.
And I know that people claim they are God. We know that. But they're not.
Amen.
They're not God.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, when you think of the wonderful things Jesus done, He walked in the water. He fed 5,000 with a boy's lunch. He fed 7,000 with another boy's lunch. Oh, I tell you, He's wonderful. He touched the coffin and the child rose. He spoke the word to the man and He said, even while He yet spake, the child came back to life. He went in and He spoke over a damsel to Laphakun. Child arise. And she rose from the dead. Jesus spoke in tongues. Jesus spoke in tongues when He spoke to that girl. He spoke in tongues on the cross. And people don't want tongues, and then they don't want Jesus. Jesus believed in tongues. Amen. Thank God for it. His sheep. He knows His own sheep. John 10 verse 14. We've already read it. He knows their name, their nature, and their need. He knows your name. He knows your nature. He knows your need. God knows what you've needed even before you pray.
Amen.
But God wants to hear you.
Amen.
Amen? Isn't it nice when somebody says, I love you? You never get tired of hearing it, sure you don't. He's smiling, you know, I'm smiling. Some of the rest are smiling as well. Amen.
Amen.
But it's good to hear it. There's no such thing as hearing it too much. You know, Jack Cole said once, he said, if you want the Spirit of God to come, he says, just put your hands up and say, Jesus, I love you. Lord, I love you. Jesus, I love you. And you see him doing it in the service. And I'm telling you, even on the very tape, the anointing of God comes. The power of God, you can sense it. There's a witness in your own spirit that that's the Spirit of God coming when He says it. Because the Lord responds when we speak to Him. Because the Word of God says, we cry, Abba, Father. He's our Father. We're not fatherless. We have a Father. A Heavenly Father. And He loves us tonight. God doesn't judge from the outside. He judges the heart. He discerns the spirit of men, whether they are carnal or Christ-like. All His sheep have a love like the shepherd. Now the shepherd loves the sheep. And you have a man that claims to be a shepherd and he doesn't love the sheep, something's wrong.
Yes, amen.
He needs an upper room. He needs hands laid on. He needs the Holy Ghost experience, let's be honest. He needs to get right with God.
Yes.
You know the Bible called Jeremiah the weeping prophet?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm sure everybody here listens to the messages of Brother Branham, and he is such a humble man. Mm-hmm. He's not a boastful person, but yet he was mightily used of God. And even he humbles himself. And he says, Lord, if I can find favor before you, will you come and prove to the people? And he does like a prayer of repentance and everything. And he says, Lord, if I've done anything wrong, forgive your servant and so forth. And then the next thing, the pillar of fire comes. God comes on the scene. That presence comes. But he humbles himself. Because he's that same love. Because the Spirit of God's in him. And every one of us must have that same love. It's the devil that wants to come in and put you against each other. And you know, you can preach something, but it might not mean people's going to do it. Because God can speak to people, but they might not do what they're meant to do. But I would to God we would do it. And I'm not saying just here, I'm speaking universally.
Amen.
I do believe we love each other here. I believe that. I believe with all my heart. In spite of what the devil's trying to do, he was defeated. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? It's not God's grace. I thank the Lord for his grace. And the Bible says if you acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, he will direct your paths. Let me read you these few scriptures. The shepherd knows his sheep. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 3. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. If any man love God, 1 Corinthians 8 verse 3, the same is known of him. And when you love God, God knows you love him. And he will show it to you. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Look also at Matthew 24. And I'm reading Matthew 24 just to get this bit. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. But yet we have people saying the Lord came.
Yes.
And they set dates. But Jesus says don't believe it. Amen. Believe it not. Verse 24. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, and so much if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Then if you went to Timothy, and you read in Timothy, that in the last days, perilous times will come, that men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, heady, high-minded, having a form of godliness, but denying the doctrine, no, power thereof. They'll want to preach you a powerless message. And then it goes on to say, teachers having itching ears. Not preachers, but teachers.
Yes.
Itching ears. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such fellowship with, you don't read that. It says turn away from them. Turn away from them. Praise God. Now let me read you this here. And this is William Branham's quoting Matthew 24:24. Now listen to this carefully. Then shall arise, in that now you're coming on down into another age, see, and he's speaking about this day, raise up false Christ and false prophets. A false Christ is a false anointed, because Christ is the anointed. So he's saying they're false anointed. False anointed. That's what the prophet said. Listen to this. This is good stuff. Because Christ is the anointed. But they're false anointed. How many knows that the Christ means the anointed one? There will be anointed ones, and they'll call themselves prophets, but how will you recognize them? By the word. By the word. This is what he says. You'll know them by the word. That's how you know it, by the word, whether they're right. How will you recognize them? Will be by the word of there. If they say that they have the word and then deny the word, then there's nothing to it. No matter what they do, they might heal the sick, they might open the eyes of the blind, and deny the word and stay away from it. Don't because they deny the word. Praise God. And then he goes on to say, for he has a conversation with a certain man, and this certain man, Brother Branham says the devil can't heal, and this fellow pulls him on it. A great knowledgeable preacher tackles Brother Branham when he says the devil can't heal, and he says, I'm surprised you saying the devil can't heal. And he goes into conversation, and this man says, I know a certain woman takes her and she does certain things and waves it over people and they're healed. And Brother Branham quotes from this scripture, if Satan casts out Satan, his kingdom is divided. That's what he quotes on. He quotes on the word. Then he explains to him that it's not the woman doing the healing, but the people are using the faith God gave them in it, though it's false, but it's because they're using a genuine faith in what the woman's doing. It's the faith they're using that they're healed by, because God honors faith. That's how he explains it. Does not make sense? Because God will honor faith. Then he says a godly woman could come up and not be healed, and an unbeliever could be healed, because they're putting faith in what they've heard, they believe it. And then the angel comes to him and he says, get the people to believe you. And if they believe, nothing will stand before the prayer, not even cancer, if they believe. Because we know that unbelief is sin. So we must believe. Isn't that wonderful? So aren't you glad tonight that if you have genuine, if somebody that's using faith through some other means to get it, and they still can get it because God honors faith, how much more can you not expect it with the genuine word of God and with faith? God can do it. And God will do it. Amen. And we, if we reach the place, for we talk so much about the false anointed, you know, and then I've heard people saying, they will do more than us. Now, brothers, I don't know about you, but I don't go with that. There's someone in me that doesn't go with that. That's nonsense. I'm sorry. You wouldn't have told that to Paul the Apostle, man. You would not have talked to him like that. He would have laughed at that. He would have rebuked that.
Yes, amen.
You see, that's underrating what God gave you.
Amen.
That's denying your right. That's denying your privilege. Jesus Christ said, I have given unto you power.
Yes.
Over all the power of the enemy.
Yeah.
Mark 16, you lay hands on the sick, they recover. James says, call the elders of the church, anoint with oil, the prayer of faith will save the sick. Then if you go over to Corinthians, you have the gift of faith, you have the gift of healing, you have the gift of working miracles. All these things are in the word of God.
Yeah.
So if somebody comes along and says, they're doing more than us, but they're false, we're real, so we can't do it. Brother, that's ridiculous. Now that's absolutely ridiculous. That's like saying, I have a car but I can't drive to the airport but his car drives it. Nonsense. That's more like saying the devil's more than God. I don't believe that.
Amen.
I wouldn't accept that. Oh no. No, not for a minute. I've heard people say that. I don't agree with it. They'll do more than us. We're just a little small flock. Brother, I'll tell you, there's people over the world in their thousands that serve in God that we don't know about. You think just here there's just a few God's people everywhere.
Amen.
If you were to go and number the people of God tonight in this earth, you couldn't do it. You couldn't count it. There's so many. And God is saving and delivering tonight in parts of the world that we know nothing about. God's doing it. And then a prophet comes and said the devil doesn't do it. And he uses the scripture.
Yes.
Satan cast out Satan, his kingdom's divided. So when people, I've heard people want the lures that they can heal. But you see, when they want the lures, they were expecting when they went there, they would be healed. Now what if people today came with an expectation to church?
Yes.
To be healed. God would heal them.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God.
Amen.
You won't hear that at lures. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that the truth? You see, the thing about this, here's the thing about this, what I want to say. The Bible says when the disciples were threatened and they beat them and so forth, they prayed. Here's what they prayed. They said, Lord, stretch forth your arm with mighty signs and wonders and miracles in the name of thy holy child Jesus.
Amen.
And my Bible says that God shook the place this morning that takes you away, but they won't. And I don't care if he believes the Trinity. He's still more than a whole lot that don't believe like that. He had the power of God. And I'll tell you, if you read his teachings and books on faith, it'll help you. Because it glorifies the Lord. F.F. Bosworth, the same, Brother Branham said, F.F. Bosworth is the most underrated man. He said, God has used him mightily and they never mention him. And he wrote a book, Christ the Healer. And T.L. Osborne wrote the book similar to F.F. Bosworth's, as that, I believe, is copied off the book. It's so close to that book. I have both books. And T.L. Osborne's book and F.F. Bosworth's books almost identical. And they're two wonderful books on healing. And if you want to know about salvation, you read about it. If you want to know about healing, read about it. But I'm glad tonight that the Lord's still a healer. Hallelujah!
Amen.
I'm glad he's on the throne. And I will not accept that some dry hide can do more than God's genuine anointed people. I would not accept that. Not for 1 minute. By the way, well, we're a weak group of, you know, there's not much chance for your type of thing.
Amen.
Now that's not preaching faith. You don't need faith to preach that sermon.
That's right.
The truth. But you see, when you preach in faith, you believe for people to get saved when you preach the gospel. And you must believe for people to get healed when you preach in healing. Oh, I'm glad God gave us a real display in the 20th century to what he could do.
Yes.
So that we would know God was still alive. And God can still do it today. God can still do it today, I said. I believe it. That God can still do it. Hallelujah. The works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do. John 14:12. I know people say that's been fulfilled. I don't believe it.
Amen.
I do not believe it. Do you believe it? Do you believe that scripture is fulfilled and it's finished? It can never be done? I don't. Because Jesus is still living.
Amen.
If you tell me that it can't be done again, you're saying Jesus has stopped working. That's what you're preaching. You have to be careful of some of the things which has been said because they're not scriptural. John 14:12 says, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto the Father. And Brother Branham says it doesn't mean greater, it means more. Then he says, because it's not through one man today, it's through his body.
Yes.
The body of Christ.
Amen.
That's why it's more works, because it's through his body. He never says, my ministry fulfills that. But yet people preach that. But he never said that. But they say it. But he didn't say it. And see, I told you again, people say things that he never said. He never said that the second coming happened in 1963. He never preached that. Never once. You can't find it. He said the Lord appeared. But the same Lord appeared in 65. The same Lord appeared in 1933. The same Lord can appear in these meetings. And if you don't believe that, you don't believe the Word of God. Because it's the same Spirit of God. Now, sure, the ministry was unique. Sure, we believe. He came in the spirit of Elijah. We believe. Scriptures are fulfilled concerning it. But Christ remains the same. That was the whole message. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The sheep know the shepherd because he has manifested himself to them. That's why they know him. He's manifested himself to them. This is the same knowing between father and a son. You cannot deny your own child because he's your child. And you cannot be denied of the Father because you're his child. And he manifests himself to you. Isn't Jesus saying, me and the Father will come to you and manifest herself to you? Doesn't he say that?
Amen.
As I'm in the Father, so I'll be in you.
Amen.
That's what he says, John 15, you read it. And Jesus says, don't do that again. Because such the one does not speak lightly of me, because he knew Satan can't cast out Satan. They were doing it through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
and he said, don't you stop them.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, I'm glad nobody put me in. And nobody second me out. Aren't you glad, brother?
Amen.
Amen. Sealed in.
Right.
Sealed in. By the Holy Ghost. What do we need to be in the bride? 1 Corinthians, baptized by one Spirit into one body. That's the Bible. That's the Word of God. Jesus said there's 10, 5 wise, 5 foolish. And he said the 5 that had the oil were the ones that went in. And the oil is not a doctrine. The oil is the Holy Spirit. Amen. You could have knowledge and not have oil. But the oil is a genuine Holy Spirit. And we thank God for the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to close in a moment. Praise God. Isn't the Lord wonderful? Let me read you 1 Epistle of John 5 verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come. 1 Epistle of John chapter 5 verse 20. And we know the Son of God has come and have given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life when you're in Christ. There's no scriptures that refer you to the church or a denomination or an organization. And if the message that's came does not organize, then if something around it organizes, it's no more part of it. It's no more part of it. It's an organization. And Brother Branham said, when they put the tank pegs in, the Spirit of God just moves on. And he said, keep moving forward with the Spirit of God. Don't camp. Don't camp down. And what he's referring to is when they were on the Mount of Transfigurations, and Moses and Elijah appeared. You know that scripture? And Jesus' garments shone like the noonday sun. And the disciples said, Lord, let us build 3 tabernacles up here, 3 denominations. We've got 3 big churches up here.
Yes.
That's what they're saying.
Amen.
But the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I will please. Hear him.
Yes.
Follow the word. Don't camp.
Amen.
Don't be building some big organization. Stay with the word.
Amen.
That's the very reason God had to send a message to bring the people out. But it's a sad affair when they go back in. And some that think they're right have made their own thing. And they're no better than what they come out of. You see, when people are left to their own thing, they'll do that. It's like my father used to say, if he can't get you in one end, he pushes you out the other. You see what I mean? It's true, isn't it? Praise God. Anyhow, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. There's this verse. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'm closing, because I don't want to hold you too long. God is able to keep it, because he's a good shepherd. And he's able to keep you. And don't limit God. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. And because you think nothing's happening, don't limit God. And if somebody tells you, oh, they're doing things, but they're false, we're not doing it, but we're real, how's that? That doesn't even sound right. They're doing miracles, they're false, we're not doing anything, and we're real. Brother, there's something wrong. The Bible doesn't talk like that. Jesus' ministry was a ministry of miracles. If you take the miracles out of the Bible, you don't have a Bible. This is a miracle book. God's people are people that miracles follow, because he said these signs will follow them that believe. The miracle people. And we should not be interested in what they're doing or he's doing. We need to serve the Lord. We need to follow the Lord. We need to do. Look, we have to do what God chance to go with the gospel and go in faith. Believe. praise God. And I'm getting all excited and preaching. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight that you've never changed. Lord, when once a servant of God said, why did God do this again? And he said, because the people forgot what Jesus could really do. And Lord, because the people forgot, Lord, you took a man that was born a sinner and you showed your power again in him so that we would know you truly are the same yesterday, amen, today and forever. Lord, he never promoted himself, he promoted you. And he told us to believe for the impossible. He told us to have a positive testimony. He told us to expect for God to do things which would be impossible to man. And Lord, we know it backs up with the Word of God. Because your Word said that which is impossible with man is possible with God. Father, if we've limited you in any way, forgive us. For Lord, we would not want to limit the Holy One of Israel. For there is none like thee. Even as we sang the song at the start of the service, how you opened the Red Sea and they crossed across on dry ground. You're a miracle working God. Lord, an old servant once said, I believe in miracles because I believe in God. Lord, we know you're a miracle worker today. Father, I pray that you'll increase your faith. Forgive us for our unbelief. Help us to read your word. Help us to study the sure, self-approved ministers that rightly divide the word of God, the word of truth. And Father, I pray for a mighty manifestation of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to come upon thy own people. That the power of God would come upon thy people. That signs and wonders and miracles would follow the preaching of thy word like it did in the book of Acts. Lord, we know that we've been brought back to what they had. That's what it's meant to be all about. And we believe it tonight. Now, Lord, let the same power, the same Holy Ghost that rested upon your children in the book of Acts rest upon your people in this room tonight. And Father, I pray that you'll stretch your hand forth in salvation and deliverance in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stretch forth and heal the sick amongst us. Stretch forth and set the captives free. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus Christ's name. Father, I pray you'll bless Sister Rita tonight. I pray she goes back to Scotland and you'll give her wisdom. Give her wisdom, O God. And help her, I pray. And bless her, I pray. And Father, for Sister Sir and Brother Paul, bless them at this time. As they come together in marriage, bless them and meet their every needs, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name. And Father, for all the young ones in this service tonight, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every boy and every girl. And I ask for every one of them that you'll save them all. And Lord, I pray for those that's near and dear to us tonight upon our hearts. Maybe a wife or a husband or a son or a daughter or some relative. Father, in joint faith we draw nigh to thee. And we bring them before thy throne of grace for we may find mercy and help in the time of need. And we ask that the Holy Spirit will go to working upon them. Just like your prophet told the little man, he said when he asked the Lord that the Holy Spirit went to work and did the job. Lord, we know you're the same tonight. And we pray that you'll go to work upon that young man, upon that young woman, upon that wife, upon that husband. And you'll do a job upon them. And Lord, that you'll bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth and set them free. Lord, that they might have a wonderful testimony to the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, this evening, bless us as we go out. Bless us as we come in. Multiply our substance and have thy way amongst us. I pray again for Samuel, you'll touch him and heal him. I pray for Ian, you'll touch him and heal him. Bless their families, bless their wives, bless their children. Bless me, Auntie Ireland and Brother Keith tonight, touch them as well. Lord, if there's any that's been missed out, that's maybe laid aside sick or unspoken prayer requests, Father, I pray you'll meet the need in the name of the Lord. pray He'll keep us as the apple of Thy eye. We ask that the angel of the Lord will be near to keep us as we go. For Lord, we know Your words promise, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear the Lord. Bless your brother Terry, Lord, as he plays the accordion. May the Spirit of God bless him. Bless your brother Gary as he leads the songs. Bless your brother John as he prepares us to go to Australia, New Zealand. Lord, for the other brothers that preach here, bless them. Bless your brother Ewell as he prepares to go to England to preach as well. Bless you. Oh, God, bless him. And use him, I pray, as we commit it all to Thee tonight in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless each and every one tonight. I hope I haven't kept this too long. It's just 20 past. My brother Gary come, and don't forget Wednesday night. My brother Yule's going to be preaching on Wednesday night. And he's going to preach for brother Frank in England. So I want to get him practicing. And I've known Yule for a long time. We have had some wonderful times over the years of prayer. And with the Word of God, it's when you think back what God's done, I'll tell you, it's wonderful. The Lord bless you.
Yeah.
Everything has to be subject to thy name.
Amen.